Warning, this podcast contains bad words and stories about drugs and sex and overthrowing the government. Proceed with caution. Okay. Thank you. And now on to our show. Wake up, brother, we got nothing to do. Let's go outside, just me and you, and build a fort. We'll pack a lunch, won't be home till after dark. Then after dinner we can sneak back out. You know that high school girl I've been telling you about? Well, she gets undressed about a quarter to nine, and we can watch her do it from the big old pine next door. She got a room on the second floor. Well, looks like another fucked up day in paradise.
The universe just loves me.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Right here on the grass. In the grassy meadow.
Even though they're kind of appropriate, since we're going to be quoting some Bible verses later, I don't think Jesus had rubber sandals or his apostles. They might have had some form of natural rubber sandals. Who knows? Probably leather, though, right? Some Bible scholar could tell me that. But here they are. Here they are. Let's just take a look at them. Nice. It's relevant that it's actually raining on me right now, raining on us, because I slept in the Keanu Airstream the other night with the rain pattering down and full surround sound, an energetic immersion of splish, drip, and splatter while curled up, all warm and cozy, a delicious dichotomy all night long, and then waking up electric and happy, happy life at the movie studio. Welcome to 095, Can I Come In? Daughter of God Cast, Season 2, Crowd Creation. In 094, episode 094, Grown Up Ghost, we considered an orphaned fragment, a scene that has no movie yet. The request we made then of you was for help discovering how Grown Up Ghost might be reclaimed. In episode 095, this episode here, we're sussing out Grown Up Ghost's density, right? No, not density, destiny. With antennae quivering with feedback, and then offering a related scene, Can I Come In? Can I Come In? Originally, there were three story objectives for Grown Up Ghost. The first was to give Christina Joe's hat. The second was to establish the Philip K. Dick theme, and the third, to reveal Christina's unique experience of reality. These last two have already been touched on in prior scenes, so they are not the primary outcomes. Aside from the hat, what's Grown Up Ghost driving at? I'm not sure. I see a wooden Buddha, crudely carved, but with a secret gem at the heart. Because Daughter of God is resonant with all creation, asking for feedback on Grown Up Ghost is like reading a spread of tarot cards. We receive opinions and comments knowing that everything is redolent with the essential, even or maybe especially flippant wisecracks, disinterest, and digressions. Everything is a finger pointing to the ineffable. Ineffable? No, the ineffable. Pointing to the ineffable. Let's read the scattered bones, the swirl of tea leaves, and find out what the feedback really means. Rediscover what this scene might be about and how it can fit in. Frank via Facebook got things off to a promising start.
For some reason, I don't get a vacation-type vibe. More like they are traveling with a purpose, such as visiting family, or they're on the run. But they seem too chill for that.
Not a vacation vibe. Traveling with a purpose. On the run. Frank's take feels spot on for me. This scene is slightly charged, or should be. Are they even traveling? Perhaps they are waiting, biding their time, letting a catastrophe pass them by. Perhaps this is training. How to hide, how to be ready for what's coming, how to pass the time. Perhaps this moment has significance in the outside world. Where were you when? Where were you when the Shuttle Challenger blew up? Where were you when John F. Kennedy was shot? Where were you when the Twin Towers came down? I was in that sailboat with Uncle Joe. He was reading me a story, and then, whoosh, paradigm shift. What if the movie opened with this scene, fragmented and slightly contradictory, maybe reversed left to right, and then back again, wavery? How would an authentic memory feel for Christina? Ooh, authentic memory. You're implying that her memories are not authentic? Dan Kelly, Shree Fuji Split? Intriguing. Tony, who lives over the hill from where I live, via Facebook. Lol, is that the boat in your front yard? This is Tony's first foray into feedback, so we gotta cut him some slack. Aside from earning his wise-ass merit badge, what has Tony revealed with his question? The actual boat is indeed on a trailer at my house. When we shot the scene, no attempt was made to make this boat seem to be in open water or even moored. Creating the illusion that the boat is floating would not be trivial. The plan was to establish this as a grounded boat by adding an additional shot of Uncle Joe stopping up the gangplank. Tony's remark emphasizes that whatever reason Christina and Joe have for being on the boat, traveling is not one of them. Jill via email was concise.
The scene with Uncle Joe and Christina was not interesting to me. Philip K. Dick is not as interesting as dialogue written by Dan Kelly at all. No.
Snip.
Jill is opining that the scene is boring, that it doesn't have anything to offer her. She doesn't care why or where they are. She's saying, I am the only person who can know. She wants my words, my vision. The Philip K. Dick reading can't be the point of the scene, only a vehicle. Even if they're not traveling physically, his words could be their water. Is it raining, at least? It is now. That would be a good reason for them both to wait. I've never read Philip K. Dick's The Builder, but I did include a Wikipedia summary in the transcript for 094. It's about a guy who builds a boat without knowing why. Finally, we heard from stalwart Seamus via dog.movie. He had a more meta response to the where and why question.
Snip.
It's the reason Christina decided to live on another boat later. She's drawn back to her young experiences.
Snip.
For Seamus, the point of grown-up Ghost is to explain adult Christina on the big boat. Because why would anyone live on a boat unless they had a positive childhood association? I gently pointed out to Seamus that boats have all manner of worthwhile qualities when considering pre- and post-apocalyptic scenarios, but he knows that I know that he knows that. He's making a point. We want her to love boats, which takes me a little deeper. Love boats. The love boat! Which takes me a little deeper. She loves boats because boats have always meant protection, adventure, survival. There is no stable land-based culture by the time she comes of age, at least not one she wants to be part of. Then there's the whole Jesus as a fisher of men, apropos of nothing. That's how he got his start, preaching to water folk, boat people.
And going on from thence, he saw two other brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them.
Matthew 4:21.
What I've learned from the feedback is that Grown Up Ghost is a beginning, perhaps the gentle start of a big shift. There could be rain, pitter-pattering, or the suggestion of rain, or hints of a deluge to come, signs of change. A shortwave broadcast in the background could be giving warnings of an approaching storm front, flooding. Here they are on a boat, waiting. When the waters come, they'll be ready. When whatever comes, they'll be safe. Perhaps cut to shots of heavy rain as the reading continues, Philip K. Dick talking about the blind beggar being an alien entity and that the boy was protected from then on. Images of the boat rising above street signs, housetops, into the sky, volcanoes, earthquakes, stock footage, all this not even shown, just implied, claymation, dreamlike, molten lava light reflected on brick walls and pop machines. This was a memory, after all, a composite memory entitled How It Felt to Grow Up During the Changes, Protected by a Dead Uncle. Because didn't Uncle Joe die around this time in 078, best scenario yet? A jumbled montage, a torrent of imagery triggered by this reading of Philip K. Dick, reaching a crescendo, then stop. Satellite over the earth. Silence. Title. 12 years later, and the satellite's looking down on the swirl of a megastorm. No, it's just a satellite looking down at the Earth. At maybe the night side Earth with no lights. How about that? Well, that's enough for now. I think we'll let this one simmer for a week or two and then revisit. 095, can I come in? Uncle Joe is bathed in red as he asks Christina to invite him in, which she declines to do, keeping a quirky silence. Feels like they're playing a private game. Eventually, Joe breaks the stalemate by placing his hat on her head. Why does he pass the hat? What's the significance of Joe's hat for you? And that's episode 095, Can I Come In? Crowd creation, Daughter of Godcast. This episode title reminds me of Let Me In or Let the Right One In. Two amazing child vampire movies, gorgeous and intense. I found these movies long after I wrote, shot, and directed this scene. So it's eerie to discover I was hooking into a popular vampire trope, that of vampires needing an invitation to enter a home. Joe's hat is his ticket in. What's up with that hat? Humphrey Bogart as the savvy Philip Marlowe and Harrison Ford as Indiana Jones, the James Bond of archaeology, they both had hats like Uncle Joe's. Marlene Dietrich in real life, the fedora is an American icon, signifying what? Hats are also like halos, extending cognitive energy beyond the skull. A wool aura, wool, like from sheep. Blech. Worn with a jaunty tilt, they remind us of flying saucers, of radar dishes, the dog icon. Life in black and white, an age of iconic cinema when fedoras ruled the so-called civilized world. We knew what competence looked like back then.
I don't see anything else here that is worrisome.